Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, December 3rd, 2023. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week and a great weekend. Recording this late Sunday night, I wanted to make sure to include GCW What Is Your Choice results, so I watched that show right before recording this. Also spent the day with my brother and my friends watching football, so had a great day. The Vikings had their bye week, but I got together with my buddies that I've known since high school that I still keep up with, and my brother as well. So had a really, really fun weekend, and I hope y'all enjoyed your weekend as well. Got a great list of topics today, and let's go through them and then jump right into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Black Label Pro Slamilton, BLP with a major show yesterday that included Sean Ross Sapp taking on Shaza McKenzie. I'll give you all my thoughts on that on today's episode. Also have results for GCW Come On Dude, which happened yesterday, and GCW What Is Your Choice, which happened just moments ago. Got results for H2O Uncharted Territory, MLW Fusion, NXT Level Up, NWA Power, HOG, House of Glory, Hog, The Darkest Hour, and LPW Love Pro Wrestling's LPW 21. So, great stuff to talk about in today's show. Some programming notes for some other stuff I got going on right here off the top. I'll mention this on the top two. I never really remember to bring this up till the end of the shows usually. If you like these episodes, please hit the like button here on Fightful Select. I'd appreciate that. Hit the like button here on Fightful Select, and just let me know that you're enjoying the episodes here. If this is your first time listening to the show, wait till the end. I don't want you just to lie and say you like this before you like it. If this is your first time listening, wait till the end. If you enjoyed it, hit the like button. If you're a regular listener, hit the like button. I appreciate it. And some programming notes. So on the spotlight this past Thursday, myself and Jeremy had a great interview with Josh Bishop, who we're going to talk about quite a bit on this show between Slamilton and MLW results. So please check that episode of the spotlight out over on youtube.com/fightful. Speaking of Jeremy, he was live in the house at BLP Slamilton, and he made a big appearance there on screen during the intro for Trevor Outlaw and Cher Delaware with a big appearance there as well. Went super viral, and it was really cool because Jeremy got to go to BLP Slamilton and also got to go to AEW Collision, Macon Towns, yesterday. So he went to Collision and watched his GOAT, Bryan Danielson, take on Eddie Kingston. So very happy that Jeremy got to have a great weekend and doing that also. And that should also help line up some future interviews for y'all here on the Spotlight. So, or I should say, on the Spotlight, that's a different show. We're going to line up some Spotlight interviews, but here on Fightful Platform for y'all. I guess I should say it that way, but I think if you listen to this show, you would also enjoy the Spotlight. Also, speaking of the Spotlight, if you want thoughts on CM Punk, that's where to go. I won't be talking about Phil here on today's show unless he organically comes up for some reason, but if you want my thoughts on CM Punk's return to WWE, I give you plenty of controversial thoughts. Half the people love what I have to say, half the people hate it, and that's CM Punk, right? That's CM Punk in a nutshell. Very controversial, very polarizing. If you want my thoughts on CM Punk's return, check out the most recent episode of the Spotlight on Fightful that is live every Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. That all said, let's get into the topics, jump right into it, starting with Black Label Pro Slamilton. The show took place yesterday, the time of this recording. This took place out of Berwyn, Illinois, out of the Berwyn Eagles Club, and this is available on Fight Plus. I always say it, I am not endorsed or sponsored by Fight Plus. I just believe in the product. I get it for $5 a month because I'm grandfathered in. I think it's only like $8 still. For even just this show alone, we're going to be talking Black Label Pro and GCW, both available on Fight Plus. So right there alone, I think is worth the value. That's just my own personal opinion. We'll also talk some IWTV here in a moment where I do have a promo code, and I'll give you that when we get to that. Now, that all said, check this out over on Fight Plus if you missed it, and if you want to watch these matches, here are the results. We had TJ Crawford over Dex Royal. This one ended with an awful waffle by TJ Crawford. I don't know if that's what he calls it, but that's what I'll always call that move. Chuck Taylor's finisher, the way he does that power driver, I should say. It's like a blue thunder bomb into a power driver. That's like the best way I can describe it if you've never seen the move before. But I will always call that the awful waffle, which is also an homage to Salute Your Shorts for all of you late 80s and 90s kids out there who remember those Nickelodeon shows, Fletcher Shorts, Awful Waffle, TJ Crawford, with the win there over Dexter Royal in the opener. After that, we had Hayden Buckland versus Trevor Outlaw. This one ended in a no contest because it was a double pin. It was basically a vertical suplex reversal into a double small package, both people's shoulders on the mat. What also happened during this match is, right before it started, I guess technically, during the entrances, Creed was a song for Trevor Outlaw. The band did the song for Trevor Outlaw. The song was Higher. If you happen to miss it, it was all over social media. Speaking of Jeremy Lambert and Cher Delaware, I think that's the name she goes by nowadays. I don't know. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Cher, Fightful Friend. And, the two of them were basically jamming out hard during this Creed entrance for Trevor Outlaw, which I was very, very entertained by. The internet was very entertained by. There's GIFs, GIFs, whatever you want to call it, of this as well, all over the place. I love to see it. And you may be hearing from Trevor Outlaw soon on the spotlight, potentially. Keep your eyes and ears out for that. Moving on, we're going to talk a lot about this one. We had a street fight where Shaza McKenzie defeated Sean Ross Sapp. I believe Sean's walkout music was Bad Baby. I think that's what he said it was. I was unfamiliar with the song. I don't want to pull the curtain back too much, but I know what song he was initially going to use to generate heat. He must have changed his mind about that. If anyone ever wants to tell that story, they can. That's, you know, but I know what song, or at least I was told what song he was initially going to use, and it wound up being different. This actual match I thought was actually really good, and I'm not just saying that because I work for Fightful, that I'm friends with Sean. I unironically enjoyed this match. It was almost 10 minutes long. It exceeded my expectations for like what you kind of expect going into this, right? Like, Sean hardly ever wrestles. For those of you who don't know, like, he is a trained wrestler. He has had something like 30, 40 matches or something like that in his life. But this was, like, you know, pretty high profile as far as the amount of attention and buzz and stuff it created, whether negative or positive, for himself, Shaza, Black Label Pro, wrestling in general, wrestling journalism, whatever you want to call all this. But people all had their opinions on this, whether good or bad, about Sean even wrestling. And I think that, my honest opinion, I think that if you watch this and have a real problem with it, especially because so much money went to charity, I think they raised like $6,000 for the charity. Go to Sean's Twitter or X and click the link so you can donate. But I don't see how anyone could really have a problem with this because the match was good, dude. I'll just straight up say it. Sean Ross Sapp throws better head kicks than CM Punk does. I know some people get triggered by hearing that, but Sean threw a head kick that it missed at the beginning of the match, but the way he threw it was actually like, that's how you throw a head kick. And I don't know how long he's trained in doing that. I know that Kevin Q on commentary was talking about him and Guarini Bounces Forever helping train Sean for the match. We actually talked about that with Guarini recently as well on the spotlight, but I thought Sean looked great in there. For a guy who like hardly ever does this, he was in very good shape. He didn't get blown up like cardio-wise. He didn't botch anything. The only thing that came close to botching was right at the end of the match, the door moved out of the corner for the finish. And Shaza and Sean, to both their credit, were like quick on their feet enough to know where it was behind Sean and still hit the spot. The finish, by the way, was Shaza hitting her split stunner and then a spear through a door that I was just talking about onto Sean for the three count. But I thought this was all in good fun, and it came across really well. Like, this wasn't the worst match on the show, and this wasn't the worst wrestling match I've seen all year or anything, obviously, if it wasn't even the worst match on the show. But I'm just saying, like, my point is, I thought this was actually pretty damn good, especially for what it needed to be. Obviously, I'm going to be a little bit biased. Sean's my boy. I work for Fightful. I get all that. But, like, there's no way I could have done half as good as that. You know what I mean? Especially, I don't have training. I did amateur wrestling and stuff like that in high school. But, like, I'm just saying, I got to give Sean a lot of credit for that. I got to give Shaza a lot of credit, too. Like, she looked great in there. And I gotta give credit Sean for being innovative too. He was like chaining moves together and stuff. Like, I don't know. I was very impressed. I've seen a little bit of Sean's work in the past. I know a lot of it isn't available on the internet anymore. But, you know, the last time I had seen him really do anything was the thing with Denise at GCW. And that was him basically just going over the top rope. But he showed a lot in this thing. I was thoroughly impressed by this. I very much enjoyed it. And I honestly think, even if you hate Sean Ross Sapp's guts, which I think would be pretty ironic if you're subscribed to Fightful Select and you're listening to this and you don't like Sean, then it'd be kind of wild. But even if you don't, even if you just listen to The Weekender, or maybe you only like me, I'm the only person to Fightful you like, you only listen to The Weekender podcast 5 a month, don't pay attention to anything else that goes on this platform somehow, some way. Check out Sean Ross Sapp versus Shaza McKenzie. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by how good it was. So, once again, shout out to Shaza and shout out to Sean. I legitimately enjoyed the match. After that, we had a tag team match where Latino's Most Wanted, Kota Hernandez and Sabin Gage, defeated Twist and Flip, the team of Darren Fly and Nate Cobain. The finish of this one was a Death Valley driver and top rope double stomp, like double team for the three count there for Latino's Most Wanted. After that, we had Orlando Colon over Rico Gonzalez. Orlando Colon, you may remember as Epico Colon, or just as Epico on WWE TV. He used to team with Primo, the relatives of Carlito, of course. And Rico Gonzalez being in this one, big match for Rico, really good one as well. Orlando gets the win with a backstabber for the three count. After that, we had a tag team match where Gangrel and Zaya Brookside defeated the Natterday Saints, combination of Adam Slade and Bradley Prescott. Finish of this one here was a double fang bang. Gangrel and Zaya Brookside doing a double fang bang, also known as an impaler DDT. I should say, I'm having a hard time saying that for some reason. Impaler. Some people call it the implant DDT. I've always called it the impaler DDT for Gangrel, but I believe he called it the Fang Bang now, or at least that's what they called it on commentary. So Gangrel and Zaya Brookside with double Fang Bangs onto Adam Slade and Bradley Prescott IV for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Maki Ito over Rachel Armstrong. The finish of this one here was Maki Ito locking in what I wrote down as the lasso from El Paso for the tap out, the submission win. If you don't know what that lasso from El Paso is, it's a high angle Texas cloverleaf. It's like a combination of the Texas cloverleaf and the lion tamer. And the reason I call it the lasso from El Paso is because Eddie Guerrero used to actually use this move very rarely, but it's like my favorite submission hold ever, because my two favorite submission holds are the Walls of Jericho and the Texas Cloverleaf, and you combine the two of them and that's the lasso from El Paso. So Maki Ito with the submission win with the lasso from El Paso over Rachel Armstrong. After that, we had Dan the Dad over Dirty Dango. Y'all of course know Dirty Dango as a former Fandango from WWE, been popping up all over the place, NWA and stuff, since leaving. Dan the Dad gets the win with his running backpack stunner for the three count. And after the match, Dan the Dad puts over Dirty Dango on the microphone. Up next, we had the BLP Midwest title on the line. Matt Mikowski defeats Calvin Tankman, becoming the new champion. The finish here was Mikowski rolling through one of Tankman's power moves and locking in an armbar. And Tankman immediately taps out, so huge win for Matt Mikowski. He's been racking up big wins left and right ever since returning to wrestling after a long layoff from injury. If you want to know more about Matt, he's another guy we had on the spotlight recently. Check out his story, his journey. He fought in Bellator, like legitimately fought MMA for Bellator, Elite XC. He choked out Joe Schilling. If y'all know who Joe Schilling is like one of the most well-known like kickboxers, really of like my generation, really of like my lifetime. I don't know a ton about kickboxing in comparison to like MMA, full transparency, but I've known about Joe Schilling forever. And I've seen Joe Schilling on Joe Rogan's podcast multiple times and stuff. And like, so it's really cool. Like Matt Mikowski's choked that dude out in an MMA fight before. Like Matt Mikowski's a legitimate badass. A guy I have a tremendous amount of respect for. So I love seeing him get that win over Tankman. I'm a huge Tankman fan. Y'all know, anyone who's listened to The Weekender, especially since like day one, like when I started the show 5 years ago, Tankman's someone we have always talked about on this show, and he's someone who eventually he'll break through to that next level. I mean, he was doing really well for himself on MLW. He's not there anymore. But I believe he's been teaming up more with Beef lately. Gnarls Garvin. So see what happens there. But and I like that tag team, by the way, if they do that more often. But I'm a huge Mikowski fan. So great to see him get this title. Another guy I'm a huge fan of course, is Joshua Bishop. I was talking about him a little at the top of the show. Talk a little bit more about him on MLW results. But he gets the win here in a four-way match over Kamara Jackson, Mean Jay Lee, and Eli Isom. The finish of this one is Josh hitting the Bishop bomb onto Lee, but he hits it like on top of the body of Eli Isom and then just pins Isom from the impact from the Bishop bomb on top of him for the three count. And the main event of the show, we had the BLP tag team titles on the line. Bang and Matthews, the former Bang Bros, August Matthews, Davey Bang, defeat Violence is Forever, Dominic Greeny, and Kevin Koo to retain their championships. The finish of this one is the Bang Bus, Ride the Bus, whatever they call it. It's like the double team assisted spear. I always go, on the commentary, they usually go, Ride the Bus, but I think they might call the move the Bang Bus. I don't know, and I don't know how much they're allowed to legally talk about that or say the names of their moves because they had to change the name of their tag team. If you want to know why, you can do your research into that. And Violence is Forever puts over Bang and Matthews after the match as well. Of course, VIF is more focused right now on GCW than probably anything else, being the current GCW tag champions. And they're also really, really big in DPW right now as well. So it feels like, I mean, obviously, VIF is still heavily involved. They were on this show in the main event. Kevin Koo did commentary throughout the show and stuff like that. But I'm very interested to see the trajectory of VIF going forward, you know, because like I said, DPW is doing big things. GCW is, you know, I don't think it's crazy to say GCW is the top independent promotion in the world, you know, depending on how you look at independence and what is an independent. But if you don't consider things like, you know, Impact and stuff like that is independence. And even then, I mean, it'd be debatable. Like, what has more buzz? What has better wrestling? What's more consistent? I mean, personally, I prefer GCW over Impact, you know, if it's just me. But I do love a lot about what Impact does, and I love reviewing their pay-per-views four times a year, and they always bring it. But, you know, different. It's apples to oranges, obviously, these kind of comparisons. But my point is that, like, If you consider GCW, I consider GCW to be the top independent company in the world, and I also consider it really to be the top, really outside of like WWE and AEW in the States. But Impact obviously does do really good things. They do create a lot of buzz depending on what's going on, and with them rebranding to TNA, they're really making a big move, you know, to really solidify themselves as like the number three U.S. company, and obviously they'd prefer to be number one or number two, if that was possible. I just don't see that happening. But once again, my point is, I think that VIF being the GCW Tag Team Champions is really the biggest thing they could do right now outside of like signing with Ring of Honor or something, which I know is a goal of theirs, you know, to work more Ring of Honor and be a part of that, AEW, WWE, that kind of stuff. But I think GCW is really like, for the time being, I think GCW is the biggest thing that VIF could be involved with, and they are their Tag Team Champions. So it's interesting to see them kind of like not the champions most other places when normally they're just like covered in titles, if that makes sense. All right, moving on. We have results for GCW Come On Dude, and I'll follow that up with GCW What Is Your Choice. Come On Dude was from yesterday, and What Is Your Choice was from just earlier tonight. Both available, of course, over on Fight Plus. Starting off with Come On Dude. Show started off with Jordan Oliver defending, retaining the JCW Jersey Championship Wrestling title over Azriel. The match was originally supposed to be Jordan Oliver defending against Tony Deppen. Tony couldn't make the show. From what he was saying on social media, it looks like that Deppen had some car problems, like his car broke down and also he got pulled over or something along the way. He made the show that was tonight, the What Is Your Choice show, but as far as, you know, unfortunately, he couldn't make it to Come On Dude. And you could tell he was pretty angry about it in his social media post, as Tony Depp is a professional and he wanted to make the show, and I understand that. I'm sure he was very disappointed and he's got a lot of fans, but I'm glad he was able to make tonight's show, although he had the issues making it the previous night. That said, they still put on a great match between Jordan Oliver and Azriel. The finish here was Oliver hitting a cutter, followed up by an acid kick, followed up by an acid bomb for the 1-2-3 to retain the JCW Championship. After that, we had Cole Radrick defeating Marcus Mathers with a Little Sebastian's Curse. Great to see the Ratty Daddy back in a GCW ring after taking some time off. And, well, I shouldn't say taking time off. He took time off from GCW, but he went and he wrestled that entire time over in the UK. If you wanted to hear more from Cole Radrick, as of recent, he was just on the spotlight with myself and Jeremy within like the last 2 weeks or so. And he talks about his trip to the UK, so check that out if you missed it. After that, we had Masha Slamovich and Rina Yamashita defeating a Miracle Generation, the team of Kylan King and Dustin Waller. The finish here was a double team Splash Mountain by Yamashita and Slamovich through a door for the 1-2-3. And by the way, for what it's worth, I think Yamashita and Slamovich work out great as a tag team. Like, Slamovich and Kelly over in Impact are a great team as well. Obviously, I think Slamovich is great as a singles or as a tag team, but her and Yamashita have gelled really well together. After that, we had Effie defeating Santana Jackson, snapping somewhat of a win streak for Santana, especially in GCW. Everywhere I've been seeing Santana Jackson lately, especially in GCW, he's been getting big wins and going viral. The win, or the finish, rather, I should say, for this one was Effie pushing Santana Jackson off of him when Santana was attempting the moonwalk DDT. Effie follows up with a sack rider for the 1-2-3. After that, the main event team of Midas Black and Jay Lyon defeat Waves and Curl, the team of Jalen Braden and Trayvon Jordan. The finish of this one was, oh, where did I put my notes here? Oh yeah, the grand finale, of course. It was the main event with the Wife. I should have known it was the grand finale before I even looked. And for those of you who don't know what that finish is, it's basically, it's like a 3D X Factor, if that makes sense. Just think of the 3D, but coming down as an X Factor instead of a cutter. And the main event, we talk about them all the time, every episode of the Weekender at this point. They are working all over the place and really, really doing great work for themselves. So shout out to the main event getting the win here on GCW over Waves and Curls. Another team that we'll talk about Waves and Curls more and more. They pop up on this show occasionally. Not nearly as often as main event. You know, main event's really been kind of blowing up lately, but Waves and Curls is definitely a team to keep our eyes on. A lot of talent there. A lot of potential. Excuse me. After that, we had Perro and Richard Holiday fight to a no contest. Basically, what happens here is Charles Mason interferes, and he chokes out the ref with a chain. Alex Hammerstone comes out and saves Holiday, which sets everything up for the show that I'll talk about after this. After that, we had Unagi Sayaka over Lufisto. The finish here with Sayaka hitting a sliding forearm for the three count. After that, we had Griffin McCoy over Gabriel Sky, Raheem Royal, R1, and Nolo Catano in a 1-2-3-4-5 person scramble match. The finish here was Griffin McCoy hitting a disaster kick onto Nolo Catano for the three count. After that, we had, oh, and by the way, worth mentioning, Griffin McCoy doing really great work right now. You know, I've been aware of him for quite some time, like through his affiliation with Young, Dumb, and Broke, you know, a while back, and then his, you know, kind of breakup from them with the JCW storyline. And for people who are paying attention to JCW, Griffin McCoy really seems like probably the biggest threat to Jordan Oliver's JCW championship as far as like the long-term story there and everything that's built in. And like, I could see McCoy being a champion there. Like, he'd be a good champion for their brand, and he's there full time. So just worth keeping your eye out on Griffin McCoy. He's someone who has been popping up on GCW more often lately, but someone who has been brewing for like a really big spot in JCW. He's already like well established in JCW, but I could see him potentially being the guy to beat Jordan Oliver for that title. If I had to like pick one person who regularly appears on JCW that would make the most sense given the storyline and the history, in the build currently, I think Griffin McCoy is probably the best bet right now. After that, we had Sawyer Wreck over Jimmy Lloyd. The finish of this one was Steph DeLander coming down to the ring, and she winds up hitting Jimmy Lloyd with a bundle of tubes. Sawyer Wreck doesn't see this happen. She has no idea, but because, you know, it's a wrestling match and she's trying to win, she hits a choke slam on Jimmy Lloyd through a bundle of tubes and gets the 1-2-3 victory there. And then after the match, Sawyer and STL wind up fighting each other because, you know, Sawyer realizes what had happened. In the main event of the show, we had Blake Christian defend and retain the GCW World Championship over Alec Price. Alec Price, of course, is the current IWTV Independent Wrestling World Champion. The belt was not recognized or defended on, you know, JCW. And if you want to see the storied history of the last few years between GCW and IWTV, y'all can do your research into all of that. But it is really cool and historic, depending on how you look at it, that this match happened. But I very much enjoyed it. Both guys rule. The finish here, a little annoying, basically because Alec Price kind of beat himself. I really thought Alec Price was going to be the GCW champion after he hit a surprise kick on a Blake Christian. Like, the crowd, was into it. Alec Price, this is like Alec Price's area, his people, his fans, and, there was all, the match just built to that perfect point. Everything was like brewing, and it was like, it was about to happen, and we saw it happen with Masha Slamovich not too long ago in front of her crowd when she choked out Nick Gage to become the champion. And I thought we were about to have the moment with Alec Price, and Blake wound up kicking out of the surprise kick. And ultimately, out of like desperation, right at the end of the match, basically what happens is Blake does this like, he does this like kind of, this like roll through, like he kind of flowed these moves together real quick and tripped Alec Price up and hit him with a really quick curb stomp and pinned him to retain his title. So Blake Christian barely gets out of there. But the reason I say that Alec Price almost beat him, like basically beat himself, is because he had him right where he wanted him. He hit him with the surprise kick. Blake kicked out. But then instead of capitalizing right away, Price did his, kind of like his taunt, his theatrics. He looked at him and he was telling him, he was going to tell him he's trash, he's garbage, he's garbage. But because of all the time it took for him to talk that trash, Blake saw his opening and got the curb stomp to retain the title. Moving on, I got results for GCW What Is Your Choice. This happened from Brooklyn, New York. I don't know why I had such a hard time saying Brooklyn, New York just then. This was literally earlier today, just within like the last hour or so before I recorded this. Also available, of course, on Fight Plus. And these are the results. I'll give you the results the best I can as far as remembering what happened for like what's most important. So we had SG Bussy, the team of Manders, Mance Warner, Alley Catch, and Effie, over Wasted Young Adults, the team of Alec Price, Cole Radrick, Dylan McKay, and Marcus Mathers. That, of course, is two combinations of, well, SG Bussy, of course, the SGC and Bussy combined, and then Wasted Young Adults, the Garbage Daddies, and Wasted Youth, of course, combined there. SG Bussy gets the W. After that, we had Masha Slamovich over Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. After that, we had the GCW World Tag Team Championships on the line. Violence is Forever, Dominic Greene and Kevin Koo, of course, defend and retain over the main event of Midas Black and Jay Lyon. We had Billy Starks over Inagi Sayaka. Billy got the win there with a Swanton Bomb off the top rope, the three count. She worked heel during this match as well, and carrying on kind of that energy we're seeing out of Ring of Honor and stuff right now from her too. Up next, we have the GCW World Championship on the line. Blake Christian defends and retains over Little Guido. Hits him with a curb stomp for the three count. And yes, it is that same Little Guido, a.k.a. Nunzio, that you might remember from either ECW or WWE. Still out there doing it. Still actually looks great. I mean, in great shape. Looked great in the ring. Props to Guido. I know, I'd seen him fairly recently on, like, I think it was like MLW we saw him not too long ago. He pops up occasionally here and there, but good showing here in GCW. Oh, also, I forgot to mention on the GCW show from last night that before the main event, or before the Blake Christian, was it the main event? I just talked about it. Before the Blake Christian title defense, which was the main event, over Alec Price, Justin Credible came out and cut a promo that Blake Christian wound up interrupting, but it was good to see Justin Credible out there, you know, and he said it himself. He's like, I know he's not in the best shape anymore and stuff like that, but, you know, for some of these guys, just being, like, alive and active is, like, a win in a lot of ways. I know that might sound kind of strange to say that and say it that way, but what I mean by that is, like, that generation that Justin Credible's from, especially that, like, specific ECW locker room he was a part of in that era, so many people are either dead or, like, completely messed up from, like, his exact group. And I know he's had his troubles and stuff, but he looked to be in good spirits at the show. You know, he cut a heartfelt promo, and it just looked like he was really, really happy just to be involved, you know. And, you know, I feel like there's a win there somewhere, you know what I mean? Just to kind of be alive and be involved after the things you have gone through and seen in this line of work in that era, you know what I mean? So, and of course, GCW in a lot of ways is like the spiritual successor to ECW. So it's always great to see ECW originals pop up in Game Changer Wrestling. After that, we had Rina Yamashita over Tony. Oh, actually, I missed one here. I'm sorry. We had Jordan Oliver over Gringo Loco in a fantastic match. Honestly, it might have been my favorite match of the whole show, actually, and I almost completely forgot to talk about it. Jordan Oliver defeats Gringo Loco. This was a non-title match, so Jordan Oliver's JCW Championship not on the line. I'm not sure exactly why that was. Personally speaking, if I was GCW, I would have Jordan defending the JCW championship every time he's in a singles match. But, you know, maybe it's a... There's kind of reverse psychology there, potentially, too, right? Because when it's non-title, you're thinking, well, maybe it's more likely Gringo Loco is going to win then. But Jordan Oliver still wound up winning, so, like, it would have been another title defense. He just hit 20 title defenses, by the way. I forgot to mention that over Azrael the night before. So Oliver has 20 JCW title defenses now, which is badass. Big fan of Jordan Oliver. And I talked about it before. I think I mentioned it on last week's episode of The Weekender. But, you know, there's a lot of speculation on Jordo because Nick Wayne, of course, in AEW. And AEW apparently is in the process of copyrighting the name East West Express, which is the tag team of Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne, of course. So could Jordan Oliver be heading to AEW or Ring of Honor or something sometime soon? I don't know, but he's definitely got the talent to work anywhere, and I've been saying that for quite some time. So it's great seeing the push he's getting in GCW right now, and of course being the main guy of JCW. So, you know, one thing I've been saying for quite some time too is I would love to see Jordan Oliver become the GCW champion. Like, if he's the one to beat Blake Christian, that would actually be great. I think that'd make a lot of sense for everyone involved. Oh, by the way, the finish of the match for Jordan Oliver versus Gringo Loco was, like Gringo Loco came off the top. By the way, I forgot to mention this. During the match, Gringo Loco hit this, like, it was like a double jump backward splash. It sounds... the way I would describe it wouldn't sound that impressive, but when you see it live, it's super impressive. Like, instead of doing a splash off the top rope, looking like facing his opponent, he did it the opposite way. But after jumping up from the second rope, Gringo Loco is the man. I talk about that all the time. Y'all have heard me interview him here on Fightful Select and on the weekend, or sorry, and on the Spotlight with Jeremy and stuff. Like, Gringo Loco fascinates me because he is the smoothest wrestler you can find, and he's always so innovative. So, but the finish here was Oliver like catching Gringo Loco midair with a cutter, following up with an acid kick in the corner, and then putting him up for the acid bomb, dropping him down for the three count. After that, we had Rina Yamashita over Tony Deppen, followed up by I did not expect this. So the next match we had Charles Mason and Pero over Richard Holiday and Alex Hammerstone. I'll do my best to describe what happens here because basically, I mean, if y'all have been following, you know, week after week here, on the weekend, or and even just the show I was just talking about that happened last night, where Charles Mason came out and interfered and choked the ref out, and that led to, you know, more stuff between Pero, Mason, Holiday, Hammerstone, and all that. So basically what winds up happening is Hammerstone hits a sweet nightmare pendulum on Pero. Looked incredible. That should have been the end of it, like, right there. And then he picks up, he, like, catches Charles Mason. He, like, rolls through with, like, this. Mason comes off the top, and he does, like, this roll through, puts him up into the pendulum. But they botched the move, unfortunately. Hammerstone picks him back up, nails him with a nightmare pendulum. And he pins Charles Mason. But Richard Holiday pushes Hammerstone off of Mason and then starts punching Mason just relentlessly in the head. Eventually, Hammerstone pulls him off of Mason, and Hammerstone goes to go at Mason. And this leads to Holiday, I know this is going to sound confusing, but this leads to Holiday taking a belt and wrapping it around Hammerstone's neck and choking him out, and then shaking the hand of and hugging and aligning with Charles Mason and Pero. So after everything that happened weeks ago that led into the big backstage thing at See or No, the show in Atlanta, Center Stage, where they went backstage and the Jimmy Lloyd in the bathroom and SDL and Mance making out and all that stuff that everyone's talking about from that show. When all that happened, like, they're just aligned now, which is very confusing. Very, very confusing. I will say this. I'm interested in the story. Like, if for nothing else, like, Charles Mason has interesting stories, and he's very, very, very damn good in the ring. He's super underrated in the ring, Charles Mason. Richard Holiday, I'm a big fan of personally. I didn't see how he would be a great fit in GCW, but this makes a lot of sense to me. Him being a heel, aligning with Pero and Mason makes a lot of sense. Storyline wise, it makes almost no sense. But as far as, like, bigger picture for Holiday in GCW, this works a lot better than him just being like a white meat babyface in GCW. Probably wasn't going to work very long. And it's interesting because Hammerstone's a heel in MLW, which we'll talk about shortly, you know, with WTF. But him and Holiday have a lot of history through MLW as well. So, and Holiday's actually turned on Hammerstone before. So anyways, a lot of stuff going on there. But ultimately, Mason and Pero wind up winning the match because Holiday winds up choking out his own partner with a belt and aligns with those guys. The main event of the show. Oh, sorry, not the main event of the show. I'm missing matches here. Jeez, my notes are all over the place. We had Maki Ito over Speedball Mike Bailey in the next match. And the main event, we had a Career versus Broski match, where if Jimmy Lloyd wins, then Cardona and SDL have to leave GCW forever. But if Cardona wins, then Jimmy Lloyd must become his Broski. Like, he's got to join up with their group. And I'll explain kind of what happens here at the end. So basically, Matt Cardona's dad comes into the ring. Cardona low blows Jimmy Lloyd. Cardona's dad throws this chair into Jimmy Lloyd's face. That is the most perfect throw. I took a video of it and put it up on X, like, right after it happened. Super impressive. Wrapped right around Jimmy Lloyd's head. And that led to Cardona following up with a radio silence and then pinning Jimmy Lloyd. So Jimmy Lloyd has to join up with the Broskis, he has to be a Broski himself. He has to be Cardona's Broski. So I guarantee you, years back, even when Jimmy Lloyd was, you know, a part of the Hurt Business, and y'all can do your research on what I'm talking about there, but I can't imagine that Jimmy Lloyd would have ever thought that, like, just a handful of years later or whatever, he'd be, you know, wrestling Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder, you know, and joining up with his group and everything. And both of them also work in MLW at the same time now. I could see Jimmy Lloyd somehow winding up in WTF, like, maybe even against his own will or something. We'll talk about MLW here shortly, but, like, yeah, I And my brother marked out too, because my brother watches a lot of these indie shows with me, so he has his favorites. And when he saw Jimmy Lloyd was the main event tonight, he was watching the show with me, and he was like, "Damn, dude, good for him! Like, made the main event, you know." So, really enjoyed all the GCW stuff from this weekend as usual. Moving on, I got results for H2O Uncharted Territory. This was the episode that's available as of November 27th. Over on independentwrestling.tv, use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, all as one word, no spaces. Put it in the promo code spot for IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv, and it lets the platform know that I'm sending you their way. Appreciate when you use that code. This show took place out of Williamstown, New Jersey, in the H2O Wrestling Center. Had Brandon Kirk and the Struggles on commentary. These are the results. We had Christian Ross over Anthrax in a Discovery Gauntlet death match. The finish here was Stretch coming into the ring. Stretch is a juggalo. Whoop, whoop. He comes into the ring and he hits Anthrax with a bundle of tubes. And then Christian Ross chokeslams Anthrax onto a already broken door for the three count. After that, we had Marcus Mathers over Frank Benelli, who had Brax in his corner to retain the ETU Key to the East Championship. Finish here was a Gotch-style pile driver followed up by a 450 splash at the top rope for Mathers to retain. After the match, Austin Luke came out, and the two then continued to build towards their upcoming match. After that, we had the H2O tag team titles on the line. Chaos Control, the team of Cecilio Vega and Rocket, defend and retain over the Squatting Dragons, team of Cody Manhorn and Aaron Wade. The finish of this one was a double team, I'm doing my best to explain this, a double team wheelbarrow imploding cutter. It's honestly impossible for me to do it justice. The imploding cutter aspect was really, really impressive, but it was like an assisted wheelbarrow double team with like a front flip out of the corner into a cutter. Gotta see it to understand it. Chaos Control gets the W there to retain the H2O tag team titles. After that, we had Joey Janela over Desmond Cole. Finish here was Janela hitting a Death Valley driver, followed by a top rope double stomp for the 1-2-3. Up next, we had a six-way scramble elimination match. I'll name the participants and then the eliminations. We had Braden Toon versus Jameson Shook versus President Hawkins versus Zeta Steele versus Ricky Price versus Jimmy Lloyd. Eliminations were as follows. We had Jimmy Lloyd eliminating Jameson Shook. Braden Toon eliminates Ricky Price. President Hawkins eliminates Braden Toon. Zeta Steele eliminates President Hawkins. And then Jimmy Lloyd and Zeta Steele both pin each other. Basically, the finish is a superplex off the top rope. A double kind of like cradle pin. And it's ultimately a double pin, so no one really wins. But it came down to Jimmy Lloyd and Zeta Steele double pinning each other. After that, we had an anything goes match that went to another no contest, where it was Dominic De Niro versus Declan Grant. De Niro throws a fireball into Grant's face, and that causes the no contest. After that, we had Ryan Redfield over Jaden Newman. Gets the win with a uranage for the 1-2-3. Jaden rejects the handshake offer from Redfield after the match. And then the main event of the show, we had Killdozer and Cruel. Killdozer is the alter ego of the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. They defeat the team of Matt Mikowski and Alec Price. The finish here was Cruel hitting Scorched Earth on Alec Price and getting the pin on him. And after the match, there's a brawl, and Joey Janela winds up making the save for Alec Price and Matt Mikowski. There was almost Cruel and Killdozer were going to try to set Price and Mikowski on fire before Janela came out and made the save. Also worth mentioning here that Cruel never lost the IWTV championship months back when he had to go down to injury. Killdozer, Tremont, actually wound up becoming the champion while Cruel was gone, lost the title to Alec Price, who now has it, and now Cruel and Killdozer team. That's all a bit confusing if you haven't been following it. But what's significant here is Cruel pinned Alec Price. I mean, so Cruel got a pinfall win right here on this show over the current IWTV champion, Alec Price, someone who he wants to match with for that title soon. So a lot of brewing stories, you know, ongoing right now for that IWTV championship and for all the H2O titles as well throughout H2O Uncharted Territory. Once again, you can check that show out over on IWTV. I'm next got results for MLW Fusion. This show is available for free on the Major League Wrestling YouTube channel. And it aired on 11:30. Show started off with Matt Cardona talking about his upcoming match with Alex Kane for the MLW World Title. MLW World Heavyweight Title. I want to put some more respect on that for Alex Kane there. But Cardona basically says that he's already dealt with the real Kane, like in the WWE, how Kane like threw him off the entrance ramp and all that stuff. So because Cardona has experience with the real Kane, he feels prepared for Alex Kane in the MLW World Heavyweight Title. First actual match of the show we had was a Thumbtacks Pit of Death match, where Jimmy Lloyd defeated Cannonball of the Calling. Jimmy Lloyd got the win after he basically throws a chair and then hits Cannonball in the head with the chair. But he falls off of the ring apron through a table that was covered in tacks, and Jimmy Lloyd gets the win there. After that, we get a segment where we meet Masked Good Brother number 3. He's there to introduce himself to Matthew Justice and Manders. He's drinking Coors Light. The joke here is that this guy drinks Coors Light, Mance Warner drinks Bud Light. This guy in a mask is clearly Mance Warner. I overthink it massively last week when I was talking about like Microman or like who could it be. Someone in the comment section actually here on Fightful Select. I don't have it in front of me, but there was someone who actually called this, and I was like, right after I read it, I was like, you know what, you're probably right, and they were. So Masked Good Brother 3, Mance Warner in a mask. Next match we had was Wasted Youth, the team of Dylan McKay and Marcus Mathers, over the main event team of Midas Black and Jay Lyon, and the team of Austin Luke and Lucky 13 in a triple threat tag team match. The finish of this one was a shooting star press, followed up by a Fosbury flop, all by McKay, and then a 450 splash by Mathers for the 3 count. After that, we had Zeta Steele over Gia Scott. Zeta gets the win after a stack pin with her feet on the ropes for extra leverage, with the dirty pin for the win, and then she signs with WTF, the World Titan Federation, after the match. Speaking of WTF, the main event of the show, we had the World Titan Federation combination of Alex Hammerstone, Josh Bishop, and Filthy Tom Lawler, who had they cut a promo earlier in the night, like a video package type thing, interview, and Josh Bishop, they pretty much just tried to make as much like Sid Vicious as humanly possible, which is a good thing. I've talked about that before, but they defeat the Boomaya Fight Club combination of O'Shea Edwards, Mr. Thomas, and Jay Bougie. Basically, what winds up happening here is Hammerstone winds up hitting a Nightmare Pendulum, and Filthy Tom gets the cover for the team. So WTF gets the win. After the match, Boomaya Fight Club come out, and WTF and Boomaya fight each other, and the show ends with Alex Kane doing like a belly-to-belly, like overhead suplex onto Matt Cardona as the show closes out. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. Show took place, or aired, I should say, on December 1st. I was watching it on Hulu, so that's where I recommend you check the show out. And there were 3 matches this week and an interview, which is pretty par for the course most episodes of Level Up. These are the results. We had Von Wagner over Luca Crucifino in the first match. Wagner gets the win after, I just wrote down a walk-around powerbomb. Basically, it's how it sounds. He put Crucifino up on his shoulders for a powerbomb, walked around the ring a little bit, nailed a really nice-looking powerbomb for the 3 count. If I remember correctly, and I don't pay super close attention to Raw and SmackDown anymore, and especially the draft stuff or the brand split, hashtag brand split isn't real, but didn't Von Wagner, like, didn't he, like, get drafted? over like the last year or so and is still on Level Up and not on Raw or SmackDown. I could be totally wrong about that. I might have like had some sort of weird fever dream about that, but and I'm way too lazy to look it up at the moment. I want to record this show, but anyway, Von Wagner with a big win. I should say a big win. A win over another pretty big guy, an NXT Level Up. There for Wagner over Cristofino with a walk-around powerbomb for the three count. After that, we had an interview segment where Bryan Lee Reese, who is going to be in the next match, she introduces herself to the audience, talks about how she's making her debut. She used to be a cheerleader. She has run fitness gyms, and she always gives 100%. She's taking on Electra Lopez in this match. The finish here is Lopez defeating Bryan Lee Reese. After Lola Vice from the outside grabs Reese's leg for the distraction, Electra Lopez follows up with a Baldo Bomb for the 1-2-3. Nice little homage. I don't know if they call it the Baldo Bomb on the show or not, but it was in fact a Baldo Bomb, which was in fact the finishing move of who is in fact the head trainer of, the PC, NXT, whatever you want to call it, Matt Bloom, the former A Train, former Albert, former Tensai. Move on to the main event of NXT Level Up here. We got Drew Gulak defeating Tavion Heights. The finish here was a distraction on the outside. We had, Miles Bourne, Charlie Dempsey, those dudes, on the outside distracting for Gulak. And this allowed Gulak to hit a rolling, Damian Kemp was out there as well, of course. He hit like a rolling elbow to the head of Tavion Heights for the three count. So Gulak gets the win. They do the catch point, kind of symbol at the end of the show together, all in the ring. And I will say this, I always talk about how NXT Level Up is so good at, kind of setting up the future for the WWE and the system that they currently have. And it's great for these reasons because, like, Gulak can keep getting reps on these kind of shows. And I like what they're doing with this group because it's helping the other members of the group. And it's also helping guys like Tavion Heights because Tavion Heights has gotten substantially better from like his first appearance, a year or whatever, months and months ago on this show. He's gotten way better, and like just his look and his confidence and the way he carries himself in the ring and his moveset evolving and stuff. I notice all these kind of things, so I think someone like Tavion Heights is someone you could look at as like a fan of this show and be like, this system works. Like it's proof that this system can work. Along with the whole group under Gulak, there's a ton of potential in everybody there. So, a very, very solid episode of NXT Level Up, as is per usual. If you go into it with the right mindset, it's a very enjoyable show, in my opinion. Moving on, I got a show that can be very hit or miss. NWA Power. You can check this out for free over the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. This was uploaded on 11/28. And these are the results. We had Mims defend and retain the NWA World Television Championship over Carson Drake. We are introduced to Devin Dixon by Thrillbilly Silas Mason, who, of course, is the NWA National Heavyweight Champion. One of about a trillion championships in the National Wrestling Alliance that is recognized and/or defended. We had Tom Latimer and Camille over Brian Idol and Natalya Markova. We had more Who Wants to Be a Spectacular segments, this time with Slade, who is a quote-unquote all-American athlete, and he wants to make the Spectaculars winners. So there you go. The Spectaculars thing is very, very NWA, very, very Billy Corgan. We had Tiffany Nieves over Ruthie J. NWA World Women's Champion Kenzie Page setting up some stuff between herself and Samantha Starr. In the main event of the show, we had Tim Storm and Jack Stain, who are, now Tim Storm, like that's his focus, full-time tag team with Jack Stain. The two of them defeat Trevor Murdoch and Birchall by DQ because Murdoch shoves the referee. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. The introduction to Birchall on the show was the Who Wants to Be a Spectacular thing. I was just kind of dogging a little bit there. Listen, I like Rolando Freeman a lot, or Rolando Perez, whatever you want to call him. Multiple names, because of course, with the indies and stuff. I think he's a very talented guy. He's overcome a lot, because he's not he's not a very large guy, right? But his talent and his charisma really shine through. And he's a former New South champion. Like, he used to carry around that gigantic championship belt. I've got nothing against Rolando. I think he actually is very, very talented. But these segments and stuff and the gimmick and the Freemans and the Spectaculars, I should say, and all this stuff, and them trying out all these people and whatnot. Like, Birchall just showed up a couple weeks ago. No one had seen this guy in so long. Everyone remembers him from the WWE, whether it's remembering as the pirate or the guy who was doing, you know, Spanish flies on WWE TV when no one else really, you know, really was allowed to. He called it the C4, I think, at the time. And he just popped up in, like, this total nothing segment, and now he's wrestling the main event of the show, and of course is his qualification in the main event, because it's NWA Power. Why wouldn't it be? Once again, if you want to watch that, you can check that out over on the NWA YouTube channel. Moving on, got some quick results for a couple more shows, and we will get on out of here. We got House of Glory, The Darkest Hour. This was available over on the Premier Streaming Network. That's where you can check it out. A lot of people in the YouTuber creator space involved in this. People like Jason Solomon, the Sol Monster, JD from NY. You know, you may know these people from YouTube and other outlets. Of course, involved with HOG, House of Glory as well. Hog started off the show. Oh, by the way, the show broadcasted on the 1st, December 1st. And it took place in New York City, New York, out of the NYC Arena. First match of the show, we had the Hog Cruiserweight title number one contender match. It was a suicidal six-way match. Gringo Loco over Blackman, Jay Armani, Jody Ara, Jody Sweets, and Raheem Royal. We had the Hog Cruiserweight title on the line. Nolo Catano defends and retains over Kevin Blackwood. Ken Broadway over Encore. The Hog Women's title on the line. Ultraviolet defends and retains over Kamar Couture. We had the Hog Crown Jewel title match. Charles Mason defends and retains over Carlos Ramirez in a double countout. So although both were counted out, Mason retains his title. After that, we had a immediate rematch in a false count anywhere match. The Hog Crown Jewel title. Carlos Ramirez defeats Charles Mason to become the new champion. Their first match went about 13 minutes. Second match went about 21 minutes. So really good stuff from both guys there in the double matches. And ultimately, new champion in Carlos Ramirez. After that, we had Swerve Strickland with Prince Nana over Speedball Mike Bailey. Swerve's entrance was awesome. I saw a lot of, like, fan videos, too, from Swerve's entrance, which I thought was really cool. I'd say I thought that was really cool. I hope House of Glory is one of the companies that's okay with people filming at their shows and stuff. But I'm not trying to rat anybody out if they aren't. But I saw some really cool videos of, like, Swerve making his entrance. And, I mean, he's just so massively over right now. Very, very happy for everything Swerve's doing. In AEW especially, but that he's still giving back to the indies and going, you know, companies like Defiant and stuff like that. But over here at HOG, good stuff. After that, we had the Hog Tag Team titles on the line. The main event, Jay Lyon and Midas Black. This was a very main event heavy show today, wasn't it? They were on like five sets of results for stuff we had, it feels like. They defend and retain their championships over the Grizzled Young Veterans, GYV, the team of James Drake and Zach Gibson, hot off of their exit from WWE. Haven't had too many matches yet, but causing a lot of buzz where they're popping up. And the main event of the show, we have the Hog Heavyweight title on the line in a no-holds-barred match. New champion, Mike Santana, defeats Matt Cardona, and he is your HOG House of Glory Heavyweight Champion, wins the main event. So congratulations to Mike Santana, a guy who is very underrated as a singles guy. I know he's kind of getting more and more opportunity with that in AEW and on bigger stages, but I've seen him live as a singles guy a few times in Atlanta for companies like either Battle Slam and or Terminus. I can't remember if he did both of those companies or not, but I have definitely seen him live as a singles guy, and he's always very, very impressive. I always felt like, not that Proud and Powerful, EYFBO, Santana Ortiz, LAX, whatever you want to call them, they were great as a tag team. Not going to take anything away from them, but once I started seeing Santana on his own more often, I was like, he could have a real future as a singles guy, and him grabbing that House of Glory championship is a pretty big deal. So check that show out if you have not seen it over on Premiere. And the last set of results I've got for y'all is from Love Pro Wrestling. Shout out to Spencer and the team over there. LPW 21, the chain wrestling results. This show took place out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And if you want to check out more about the show and about the company, the best place to check that out is over on their Twitter, which is at LoveWrestlingCA. These are the results. Once again, this is LPW 21, the chain wrestling. In the LPW Challenge Championship match, Travis Williams defends and retains over Ty Jackson, or T.Y. Jackson. After that, we had the number one contender Gauntlet Championship match, or sorry, Championship Gauntlet match, Stephen Crow over Reed Matthews, then Stephen Crow over Zoe Sager, then Michael Allen, Richard Clark over Stephen Crow. The winner of the match is Michael Allen, Richard Clark. We had Son of the Irish and Jared Rogers over Dean Richter and Riley Cruz. The LPW Tag Team titles on the line, Ride or Die, the team of Taryn from Accounting and Stephen Crow, defeats Paralira, the team of Bharat Gurani and Sheik Shabazz, and the team of Seven, S-E, the number 7-E-N, like the movie, Mars the Specialist and TJ Cannon. So Ride or Die become the new LPW Tag Team Champions. With the LPW Scramble Championship on the line, Jack Pryde defends and retains over Tara Zepp, Tony Baroni, Rich King, and Evan Rivers. And then the main event of the show, we had the LPW Grand Championship on the line, and Michael Richard Blaze defeats Lumberjack Larry Woods to become the new champion. So congratulations to Michael Richard Blaze for becoming the new Love Pro Wrestling Grand Champion. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Beginner Podcast. I'm Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at FightTalk underscore, F-I-G-H-T-T-L-K underscore. Use code FightTalk at independentwrestling.tv. Watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time with myself and Jeremy Lambert over on the main Fightful YouTube channel, youtube.com/Fightful. Appreciate y'all listening. As always, right here on Fightful Select, to the Weekender Podcast. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.